Welcome to the August 14th dual platform service of the Unitarian Universalist Congregation in Blacksburg, Virginia. The service is led by guest speaker Jennifer Springsteen and worship associate Ellen Plummer. In her homily, Jennifer shares her thoughts about how we and others might benefit from our carrying out targeted acts of kindness.
Good morning, everyone. I am so happy to be with you across the world, in this space, and wherever you are, at home or elsewhere, we are so happy you're here. Welcome to the Unitarian Universalist Congregation, and we share a mission to inspire, create, and transform. My name is Ellen Plummer, and I'm leading worship this morning with my dear friend, Jennifer Springsteen. Jennifer is joining us from Seabick, Washington, where she is teaching writing at a worshipful retreat. And she just texted me to tell me, it also is like, oh, dark 30 out there, by the way, right? And she just texted me to let me know that there is a drumming circle happening behind her. And she's hoping it won't be too disruptive. We're UUs, we roll with it, we got this. It's all good. Jennifer and I are seminary classmates, and she is on track to complete her seminary studies in the spring of 2023. Jennifer is an author, an educator, and a co-founder of a literary arts organization in Portland, Oregon. She has been a gift to me as a partner on this very peculiar but wonderful seminary journey. I'm delighted to have her join us today. If you are with us for the first time, we are so very glad you have found us. You are welcome, and we really look forward to getting to know you. You'll find a link to a virtual visitor's card in the chat or a paper card in the back of the sanctuary. Please fill it out so that we might be able to keep in touch with you. If you have a joy or a sorrow you wish to be shared aloud this morning, you'll find a link in the chat or cards that are available near the entrance to the sanctuary. We will continue to collect those, and we'll be reading those from up here later in the service. There are many opportunities to meet virtually or on the grounds throughout the week. You can look at our calendar on our website for times, locations, Zoom links, and contact information if needed. And thank you to everyone who makes these opportunities available to all of us. Because Montgomery County is in the CDC green zone for COVID cases, masks are optional in our building. I have a few additional announcements. The UUC choir is inviting you to join them in offering the gifts of music to our worship services. Please consider joining the choir. Reach out to Jennifer Thomas if you would like more information. Keep an eye out for an opportunity to join our congregation's small group gatherings called Soul Matters. These small groups meet once a month to reflect on a theme. Here is a quote from a recent participant. "I loved exploring each theme in depth, even when I thought I had nothing to say about it. I loved how varied individual thoughts on the theme are. Most of all, I loved the bond and trust between members of the group and how it continues to grow." Sunday, August 28th, is our congregational ingathering and our water service. Please send photos of you and water to Rev Pam so she can weave them into our service. After today's service, we will have coffee. Yes, I'm getting a nod. This is good. Thank you to the coffee makers. May they be always blessed. This morning, we are greeting one another across the world, across space, across our many, many ways of being together. If you are joining us via Zoom, we are grateful you're here. Please greet your neighbors by writing in the chat where you are this morning. And as you do that, we'll be sharing the Zoom screen with the folks in the sanctuary so that they can see your smiling faces. If you are comfortable, please turn on your video. Hi from Radford. Hello from Washington, Roanoke, Galax, Highland Park in Blacksburg. I think I saw someone earlier in the chat say they were joining from India, possibly. I can't get my... Bombay, welcome. Welcome, welcome. Price's Fork, Pulaski. I know that Brenda and Pam and Jamie are in Washington or the Oregon, somewhere in the Pacific Northwest, where they are engaging in a wedding service for Pam's niece. Brush Mountain is represented. Thank you, Heather. Anywhere else? Good morning and welcome to everyone. Here in the sanctuary, I invite you to take a look around, see who is here today, catch the eye of someone you may not know. Give them a wave and a smile. Even though our mouths may be covered, our eyes can still convey a smile. We want everyone at home to see who is here, so I'm gonna ask to spotlight the pulpit camera. That would be this. So you can see their smiling faces. Okay, I'm gonna try not to make anybody seasick. All right, ready? Good morning, everyone. Boy, no more coffee for me. And here is Mary Louise and her beautiful dress. Nope, that's the... Jennifer Thomas, would you help us light our chalice this morning? Everyone, please join in reading the words on our screen as we light our chalice. We light this chalice for the warmth of kindness, the light of hope, and the fire of service. Thank you so much. Our opening words this morning will be read by Jennifer Springsteen.
Good morning. Our opening words are from Naomi Shihab Nye, Kindness. Before you know what kindness really is, you must lose things. Feel the future dissolve in a moment, like salt in a weakened broth. What you held in your hand, what you counted and carefully saved, all this must go, so you know how desolate the landscape can be between the regions of kindness. How you ride and ride, thinking the bus will never stop. The passengers eating maize and chicken will stare out the window forever. Before you learn the tender gravity of kindness, you must travel where the Indian in a white poncho lies dead by the side of the road. You must see this could be you. How he too was someone who journeyed through the night with plans and the simple breath that kept him alive. Before you know kindness as the deepest thing inside, you must know sorrow as the other deepest thing. You must wake up with sorrow. You must speak it till your voice catches the thread of all sorrow and you see the size of the cloth. Then it is only kindness that makes sense anymore. Only kindness that raises its head from the crowd of the world to say, it is I you have been looking for, and then goes with you everywhere, like a shadow or a friend.
Today's theme for our worship time together is kindness. And as we read our congregational covenant, our promise of how we are in community with one another, I want you to notice one of the words in our very opening sentence is, in fact, kindness. Please join me in reading our covenant. We covenant to create a place of respect and kindness, and to build a spiritual community based on reason and courageous life. While we celebrate the words of our mission statement and of this covenant, we affirm that our mission lives through our actions. Our commitments to each other and our communities are reflected in part by our gifts. Our practice in this congregation is to share the offering with a local organization or a UU-affiliated group. This week's recipient is Valley Interfaith Childcare. This agency provides care for low-income families and their children. Please give generously online using the link in our chat or through the many ways listed on the screen. You may also give after the service. For those of you in the sanctuary who would like to give a cash or check, there is a basket in the back of the sanctuary. Thank you all for your generosity. As we collect, please join me in accepting our gifts. We accept these offerings in support of our congregation and our larger community, recognizing always that in giving and receiving, we participate in a circle of care with no beginning and no end. Our meditation today will be led by and facilitated by Jennifer.
Let's just take a moment to find yourself in your own skin. Feel your feet on the floor, on the ground, if your feet are those that touch the ground. Feel yourself grounded. Feel in your throat chakra. You can even touch your throat chakra, that place where your words, your voice, who you are, lives. Let that be open, that you speak your truth today and every day. You can put your hand on your belly. This is the place where we have our worries and it's our flight or fight. Just let that be warmed for a moment. Know that you are in a safe place here at this time with us. Breathe into your belly. And now, if you'd like, you can place your hands at your heart center. Let the warmth of your hands fill your whole chest, your whole heart. Yours is a good heart. And breathe into that space. And just for this time together, as we sing and worship, letting all the things that you have to do next just float like blossoms down a river. You see them, you know they're there, but you let them go just for this next half hour or so. And bring yourself fully present, fully into your breath. and into the kindness that you have for your own self, the love that you have for yourself. That is where the kindness starts for those around us. Let's take a deep breath and then we'll sing together this meditation on breathing, the hymn, "May When I Breathe In, I Breathe In Peace. When I breathe out love." So let's begin with this hymn. Join me in hymn number 1009, Meditation on Breathing.
When I breathe in, I'll breathe in peace. When I breathe out, I'll breathe out love. When I breathe in, I'll breathe in peace. When I breathe out, I'll breathe out love. Breathe in, breathe out.
Our reading today are words by Thurman Marshall. In the quietness of this place, surrounded by the all-pervading presence of the holy, my heart whispers, keep fresh before me the moments of my high resolve, that in good times or in tempests, I may not forget that to which my life is committed. Keep fresh before me the moments of my high resolve. Our message today is on practicing kindness.
Thank you. Thanks, Ellen. It's good to be with you this morning. And as Ellen said, I am Zooming from the Pacific Northwest in Seebeck, Washington, on the Puget Sound, very close to Canada. And as I put in the chat, I think that your minister, Pam, is sort of right over the sound from me in Whidbey Island. So the drumming has stopped. But there are people coming. It's about 7:30 and people are coming to get their coffee at this camp. So I apologize if there are some scuffles and feet moving about. So this is a Unitarian Universalist camp, and there's a family camp in July, and then there was a family camp last week. And I'm here this week for the UU Arts Elliott camp. And we paint and write and drum strum and weave and worship together. It's really a beautiful time here. I'm sure you've seen the bumper sticker, "Practice Random Acts of Kindness." I do love the idea of practicing the shift out of ourselves and towards those around us, like paying for the coffee for a person behind you in line. The ideas I want to share with you this morning can best be described as targeted acts of kindness. Kindness that comes from really seeing a person, hearing them, and then reaching out to them because the heart is a mysterious organ that longs to create connection. The kindness that comes from that heart space is a gift to those who receive it and don't ever forget. Here's an example. When I was in middle school, my parents had recently divorced, and we moved into a townhouse several blocks from my school. And while we weren't close friends, Mia Johnson and I had known each other since kindergarten, and we walked home together as far as her townhouse. I must have confessed to her on those walks that my mother worked up north near DC and didn't get home until 6 p.m. Because one day, Mrs. Johnson met us on the porch and instructed me to come in and have a snack and do my homework with Mia. Mrs. Johnson was a stay-at-home mom like mine used to be, and her tenderness to me as we ate our snack and finished our homework was what I'd longed for in the year since my parents divorced. She allowed I could come over as often as I wanted, and I wouldn't wear out my welcome. I lived with my grandfather, we called him Papa, after my grandmother died. Papa's kindness was infectious. He'd grown up very poor, which maybe led him to share the bounty that he had with others. My mother tells the story about when she was a girl and an old neighbor had taken ill. Papa told her to go over there and feed the old lady's dog. When my mother puffed and said, "Why?" he said, "Because that's what we do." The year I lived with Papa, I recall a man named Dick from across the way who had prostate cancer. Papa told me Dick loved tomatoes and he was free to come into our garden and take all the tomatoes he pleased. The acre garden was its own kindness. Nobody who knew Papa went hungry. If they showed up with the bucket, they could pick as much as they pleased. And a steady stream of visitors to the house often left with jars of green beans and pickles my grandmother had put up, or a bag of crowder peas she'd frozen the year before. Most often in the year that I stayed, it was people bringing Papa stuff, people who he'd done something for in the past. There was a young woman, and I can't remember her name, but I can see her face clearly, who brought us pies and cookies. Papa knew the husband and had paid their rent. I don't know for how long, but her pies and cookies kept coming. There were also these two brothers that worked for AT&T, and I don't know what Papa had done for them, but they brought us phones, all kinds and colors, desk phones, the kinds that go on the wall, the modern kind with the round cradles. That's modern for the 1980s. They brought extra cords and extra jacks. And we had so many phones, I never had to buy one until much later when they were made as one unit with the answering machine. Papa's funeral reception, was a hodgepodge of people from all walks of life. Country people like those AT&T brothers, and also doctors and lawyers, and even the mayor. He was as good to one as he was to the other. And thinking about kindness and stories of when I felt it offered to me, I feel close to the holy mystery. And that is a sort of kindness too. Within these relationships and friendships we cultivate, we are laying the groundwork for kindness and for generosity. I received what I think is my first crow gift a few weeks ago. A metallic pink doll skirt left on the bench where I set out peanuts for all the Corbids. And I'm sorry that there is a neighborhood doll undressed for the disco, but I'm grateful for the kindness of it. I began feeding the birds and squirrels when our neighbors cut down all the arborvitae and the holly and the cherry trees that offered shelter to the critters. I'm reminded through my crow gift of what nature shows us in abundance this time of year. Like the nasturtium, its silly brain-like seed and the brilliant orange and yellow climbing flowers, how those peppery flowers add spice and color to a salad, and how the blooms keep coming and coming. This is a reciprocal relationship, my offering of food and water and respect, and then what nature offers in return. And I also think about what lies behind all this natural kindness. One of my favorite poems is by William Wordsworth, lines composed a few miles above Tintern Abbey. I feel like this poem is getting at what I wanted to express this morning, how we might let ourselves be deeply moved by the natural world and to recognize the nudges of the divine kindness when we are. Wordsworth writes, "With an eye made quiet by the power of harmony and the deep power of joy, we see into the life of things." What does it mean to see into the life of things? To see the kindness that is behind beauty? To see into the life of things, the crow, the nasturtium, is to shift our thoughts away from what can feel lackluster, doing laundry, the morning commute, pushing our cart through the grocery store. It is the butterfly that surprises us when we step out of the house, the wind that begs us to throw open our windows, the goofy waddle of a mallard saying, "Notice us, notice." How can we not reciprocate our love and our joy? More from Wordsworth. "I have felt a presence that disturbs me with the joy of elevated thoughts." A presence that disturbs me with the joy of elevated thoughts. The natural world, the divine, coaxes us to imagine our most beautiful selves, our kindest selves, our most generous. I continue my studies of Sufi interpretations of the names of Allah. If you're not familiar, in Islam, there are 99 names for God. The families of names connect the spiritual seeker more deeper when chanted. That's an extremely basic explanation. For the lovers of linguistics, though, each divine name shares roots with other words whose meanings amplify that of the divine name. Even the shadow forms of the root word offer additional understanding about the human condition embedded within the words. The name Ya Karim is the name for the manifestation of divine abundance, an abundance whose bounty touches every single thing in creation. This generous abundance is both material and spiritual, and nothing is left out of its loving wake. It is possible as a consequence of this generosity that the human heart can become complete, because our hearts contain all the divine names, all that Allah gives. We have already received. We have always received. However, the shadow root of Al-Karim warns of a superior feeling that might come from feeling one with the divine, as if we were the product of all this amazingness. It makes us feel separated and apart from the world, because we might interpret the gifts that we receive as being manifest from our own selves, not from something divine. And then you wouldn't feel like you needed to reciprocate that kindness, because everything is complete. The circle of reciprocal kindness is one's own. When we disconnect from one another and from what is holy, we are cut off, untethered, no longer rooted to the truth of how good it is to give and to take as a part of our spiritual and human journey. No one should go through life being so disconnected from what it feels like to show kindness the way it is shown to us every moment. Rather, we might rely on the beauty of the name Ya Majid, the outpouring of the sublime. It is illumination. It rises like the sun and leaves us in a stupor of joy and wonder. Its beauty pushes our spiritual nature further and deeper, Al-Majid is the fathomless generosity of the divine. Is this what Wordsworth is feeling on the banks of the Wye River as he remembers what it feels like to love the world with the wonder of a child? And God keeps giving and giving when we are so joyful to receive that kindness. I think divine kindness is like getting sugar from the neck of a small child. You hold them in your arms, kissing them over and over, and the more they squeal and giggle, the more you kiss. See, we already know such divine kindness and love in our hearts, given and received. It isn't random, this kindness. It isn't about seeing the world around us as resource sources to exploit, animals, earth, water, other people. Now, I know that there is much to overwhelm us right now. One doesn't have to look hard to witness the cruelty of people past and present. But really, we don't have to look too hard to witness the kindness of people either. That is what we cleave to. We can be good to one another because that's what we do, as my papa said. Think about that when you remember your friends and neighbors. If you're able-bodied, rather than bemoan your neighbor's overgrown yard, offer to mow it. Can you bring a friend cut flowers from your yard? Give them a favorite book from your shelf? Maybe you call a neighbor from the store and ask if they need anything. You know all these things. I'm not telling you anything new. I'm just reminding myself and you that kindness can be simple. If you would, let's just either close your eyes or let your vision blur for a moment and take in a breath. Recall a kindness someone has given to you, maybe when you were a child, and maybe just last week. Just pause for a moment. Hold that kindness close with one more breath. And with this third breath, inhale and then exhale your sincere gratitude. When we engage in purposeful kindness with each other, we are creating sacred connectedness. Kindness is reciprocal. Having someone be kind to you makes you want to be kind to others. And if that's true, smile at young people, teenagers. Offer them your love and support whenever possible. And I don't just mean your own kin or those that look like you. Maybe I'm overly optimistic, but I think kindness will reverberate out into the world in big concentric circles. Purposeful kindness. Infectious kindness. May it be so. Would you pray with me now? God of many names and of no name, sweet spirit in the throats of birds, we find ourselves in times of hurt and hardship. Let us be reminded today, each day, Spirit, of the kindness you offer. Remind us that our hearts can be filled and can spill over with love and kindness to one another. This is what we want. This is the prayer we hold today. Blessed be, and amen.
We have come to the end of our time together. And if you choose to leave our space while Mary Louise plays our postlude, please do so quietly so the rest of us can listen. For those of you on Zoom, please stay for conversation after the postlude. And for those of us who are here, there's coffee and Chinese goodies waiting for us. Our benediction today is by Mark Bellatini. Go in peace, live simply, gently, at home in yourselves. Act justly, speak justly. Remember the depth of your own compassion. Forget not your power in the days of your powerlessness. Do not desire to be wealthier than your peers, and stint not your hand of charity. Practice forbearance, speak the truth or speak not. Take care of yourselves as bodies, for you are a good gift. Crave peace for all people in the world, beginning with yourself. And go, as you go, with the dream of that peace and kindness alive in your heart. I extinguish this chalice, acknowledging our time together today is ended, and hope you will carry the message of kindness throughout today and the week ahead until we are together again. Blessed be, and amen.